It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women step out of the closet to live authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt and shame, Rick's heart-centered approach is loaded with bankable advice and take action tips for living powerfully on the other side of the closet door. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, thought-provoking insights, and diverse perspectives for living out and proud. Pull up a chair and spend an inspiring hour in the Coming Out Lounge, stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons.
And here we go. Welcome, everybody. It's been a couple of weeks. We've been running some replays, and I'm back in the saddle, ready to go. We're sitting here in the Coming Out Lounge, rolling into the holidays. And as I look at the holidays, it's always one of those times of year where I know for myself and my clients and new clients that are coming on board that it becomes a time of going, what is it I truly want? Who is it I truly want to be? And why are those things important to me? So if you're tuning in today or you listen to this on the download, this isn't just about coming out of the closet. This is about coming out of the closet and truly stepping into this powerful space of being authentically who you are, however that may look for you. And I brought a couple of people who are near and dear to my heart onto the show today. They're two very inspiring, very confident, very courageous men who have been on this journey with me and have been on their own journeys up to the point that we started working together. And they've stepped into some very powerful spaces of knowing what it means to be authentically who they are. And as we go through this today, my goal is to give you, the listener, bits and pieces of what each of us has within us at our deepest, most core energetic selves to truly go be who we want to be. And it doesn't have to involve pain, and it doesn't have to involve a lot of sacrifice, because it's already built within each one of us. For some of us, it may mean that authentically being who we are is an athlete. For others, it may mean we're a CEO of a company. For others, it may mean I'm going to be a mom and I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom, and that's who I authentically am, and I'm going to go do that to the best of my abilities. And to others, it's all about who we are sexually, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. So I would really encourage anyone who's listening to this that if you feel the power of what we're going to talk about today, and knowing that this isn't just coming from a space of coming out of the closet, that this show is truly about helping anyone step into a space of true authenticity. And as we go there, I'm going to bring forward my first guest. He's a young man that I had the very grand pleasure to work with for over a 6-month period, and even longer, even up till just a few days ago. And he has impressed me so much that literally a year ago we started working together, and I would say from a year ago to now, his life has dramatically changed. He stepped so deeply into himself and created a whole new way of being who he is from a place that's very near and dear to his heart. So this time I'm going to bring forward my client, Jason. Welcome, Jason, to the show.
Thank you, Rick, for having me.
Hey, absolutely. So as I said, Jason, and you know how I feel about you, you have made some incredible transformations. You have gone from a space of not truly believing in yourself and believing that anything else could become different to really thriving. And I'm going to encourage you to just share what you feel comfortable sharing throughout the next 30 minutes that you'll be on the air with me, and know that much like a coaching session, even though there could be hundreds or thousands of people that start to hear what you're about to share, you are now being given the opportunity to truly be a beacon to someone else who may be struggling. So let's kind of go back to where you were a year ago. What were some of the thoughts and beliefs you were holding around who Jason was back then?
Jason was a confused individual a year ago. Are we talking pre coming out, Rick? Are we talking about the process of coming out? Pre coming out, I was an individual who thought I really had no meaning. I really felt like I had no purpose. I felt like I had let myself down. I felt like I let everybody else down. And if I was to ever come out as a gay man, I would be destroying the life that I built.
And this is very common. I want everybody to hear this, that anytime, whether you're coming out of the closet or you're doing something else that maybe you've never done before, these are our core fears, that what I'm about to do is going to hurt, destroy, break down something. This isn't uncommon, but this is part of our journey. This is part of our journey when we step into that scarier place. So as you started to step forward and as you started to see those beliefs from a different perspective, and as you and I started to talk through that process, what began to shift?
My thought process started to shift. I started to see things in a different light. I started to see things as I'm not, what I was doing and what I was going through wasn't to hurt somebody else. It was to be me, and it was to be able to live how I was meant to live and to feel free to be myself. So the learning process for me was learning and realizing that in me coming out, and me going through the process, yes, people may be hurt, but they're hurt for their own reasons. They're hurt for, you know, whatever their purpose is. They don't, you know, they may not understand, but that's their issue. And so going through the process, I had to learn that and learn that each of us have our own way of dealing with things. And that was the biggest thing for me, is because I felt like why I didn't come out was because of everybody else. I care so much about what everybody else feels and thinks about me that I was making decisions based on them.
Well, and I think this is a really big piece that most of us, again, coming out or going through some big decision. I mean, the big decision could be I'm unhappy in my marriage and I just need to leave. Or it could be I'm really miserable at my job. And if I leave, yes, there's going to be people who get hurt. But the bottom line is this, and you've heard me in session talk you through this. We cannot make anyone else feel what they're feeling. They choose to feel what they're feeling. We may be the catalyst. The actions we take may bring this up for them. But on the other side, once it's brought up and they see the situation they're in, we are not responsible for how they choose to react to it and how they choose to be in their own feelings. Now, I don't want this to sound crass to anybody that's listening, because the other side of how we work through this, and as I worked through it with Jason, was we go and we own our piece of the situation. This isn't screw you, this is who I'm going to be. We own the piece. And that piece for me was I own the piece of stepping in and marrying someone, knowing full good and well, as all my listeners know, that I knew I was gay when I got married, and I knew that I was going to try to make this work because this is what everybody else wanted me to do. But I want to make sure it's just really clear what Jason just shared was stepping forward. What he was doing was for the best of him. And quite honestly, by doing that, 9 times out of 10, when we are the best for ourselves, it ends up being what's in the best interest of others. So I know a year ago, Jason, one of the biggest fears that you had about stepping forward was, and it's actually where we started our work, in-depth work, was this fear around your spirituality and your religion. This had deep clutches in you. So what shifted in that arena for you?
Well, you know, being raised in a Christian home, I was raised to believe that homosexuality is a sin. And it's an unforgivable sin, and that it's something that God doesn't forgive and God doesn't love us if we are. So my spirituality was a very big part of my life and still is. And what I had to do was I had to come to the realization and do my own research in finding that God loves me no matter what. He loves me for who I am and for what I am. And now to this day, I cannot believe that I would be born the way I was if God didn't approve. Mm-hmm. He is our creator. And so if he didn't create me, I was created this way. And if he created this way to hate me, it really doesn't make sense, because that's not the God that I was born to love and believe in. I was born to love and believe in a just and loving God. And so I had to come to the realization that he loves me no matter what. And I truly believe that.
Well, and for those, and again, Jason, I really appreciate you sharing that piece, because this is, you know, if I were to go write a book, which I am writing a book, this is one of the pieces that I see each person step through. And we've only got a couple of minutes till we go to our first break. But this piece of religion is a battle that many people go through. And I just want anyone to know that if you're up against it, you're not alone, because everyone who's come through the closet door, who has come from a faith-based upbringing, is going to step over this chasm at some time and point. And it's one of the things I love working with those types of individuals. So to give Jason something to ponder on, because we've got 1 minute before we go to break, I want Jason to share some of the, you know, a couple of his top beliefs as we started to work through this process of him coming out. One or two things as we go into the next segment, because there are pieces of his story that start to unravel. And when we come back, we're going to talk about those big pieces for him, the pieces that gave him the least amount of self-love, but yet once we unraveled them, gave him the springboard to truly step forward masterfully, hold himself in a safe space, see himself in a beautiful position. And when we return, we're going to jump right in there and have him share a couple of those things. When we come back from the break, this is Coming Out Coach Rick, and you are listening to the Coming Out Lounge.
You've been listening to the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth, with Coming Out Coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
Are you ready to start rocking that woo-hoo that only you do? Because Lisa Stedman is on a mission. She will dare you, challenge you, enlighten you, provoke and empower you to bring out that inner woo-hoo. Lisa is an internationally acclaimed best-selling author. She is a breakup expert, a brand consultant, CEO of Woohoo Inc. and the Woohoo Radio Network. She will show you how to take your boo-hoo and turn it into woo-hoo. Get rebellious and get real. Get your dreams off the back burner. Get inspired and motivated to take action. Start rocking that woo-hoo that only you do in love, life, and business. She is going to be here for you every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, only here on the Woohoo Radio Network.
Ministry is filled with both highs and lows, victories and struggles. It can be the best job in the world, but it can also be the hardest. Where do you find the balance between serving God and the joy of truly knowing Him? Wellspring, Tending the Heart of Ministry with Joanna Weaver. Thursday afternoons at 5 p.m. Central. Join us each week as pastor's wife, best-selling author, and host Joanna Weaver interviews women who serve God from the heart, both those who are well-known and those who minister in less visible ways. You'll discover tools for the ministry, but more importantly, you'll learn how to give God access to the deep places in your heart. For ministry is more than what we just do in public. It is who we are in private. Wellspring is here to inspire you to look into your heart of hearts and invest in the place ministry truly begins. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So join us for an hour that just might change your life. It's Wellspring, Tending the Heart of Ministry, with host Joanna Weaver. Thursday afternoons at 5 p.m. Central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clements.
And we are back talking to one of my near and dear clients that has taken a huge journey in the last year. He has stepped from a place of fear and really stepped into this true, authentic place of being himself, accepting and wrapping his arms in a warm embrace to be truly a gay man. And before the break, we had talked about some of the transition from belief around God and how God loves him regardless of who he is. And if you were listening, you know, I challenged Jason to think about a couple of other big transitions that really happened for him as we did the work and even after he finished doing the work for me. So I guess, Jason, it's kind of your show at this point to kind of tell me, you know, what was one of, you know, let's start with one, a big transition that really happened for you in the last year.
Well, a really big transition that happened to me in the last year. Gosh, Rick, where do I start? I guess, you know, the biggest thing is I was married. I was married to a woman for almost 14 years. I have two children. They're ages 8 and 11. And coming out was probably the toughest thing. It was the toughest thing I've ever had to do. In making the decision to come out and come forth as a gay man to my wife and to my children really kind of stemmed with them personally. I felt it was unfair for her, my wife at the time, to be stuck being married to a gay man. I thought maybe I could wait until the kids graduated from high school. So that way I didn't have to break up our family. But I felt it was unfair for her, and I was robbing her from the opportunity of going out and finding somebody else that could really love her the way that she deserved to be loved. I loved her, but not in the way that she needed. Mm-hmm. The kids was the other aspect. What was I teaching my children? What was I teaching my children by hiding as a gay man, not being real as with who I am and not being authentic? I wasn't teaching them how to be authentic themselves, was I? No, I was teaching them how to lie and hide and be ashamed of who they are. So they were a big catalyst in my decision to move forward and, you know, and come out as a gay man. Of course, it was scary, and my biggest fear was that they were going to turn on me and they wouldn't love me. But I've been pleasantly surprised in knowing that it's completely opposite, completely opposite. My 10-year-old made a comment to me the other day that she said, "Dad, I've never seen you so happy."
So it's kind of interesting, and I'm going to take you back to, you know, a couple of times that I know we had these talks, but when I would say to you, what might happen, Jason, if you were truly being yourself, do you remember some of the pushback you would give me?
It was just fear, really. Looking back, it was all fear-based. Everything was, my kids will hate me. Right. My family will disown me. My business will suffer.
I remember those times that you would sit there and I would continue to push and I would challenge and I would say, well, what would happen if they didn't disown you? You know, and what would happen if you do come out and some people embrace you and others don't? And even though we did all of our sessions over the phone, I could feel the energy of you kind of looking at me going, screw you, Rick, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, I did. I may even flip the bird at you a couple times.
Yeah, I felt those too. But what's powerful is these, again, and I love that you brought it forward first. These are those fears. These are those stories. And I know you hate it because I used to say to you, okay, well, what tape are you playing now? Or what, you know, what story are you making up? And I knew when I'd say stuff like that, that was the push. But in reality, this is what we all do as humans, regardless of coming out, getting a new job, leaving someone because we don't love them, whatever it may be. And the minute we just allow the story to just play without being the director and being in control, things kind of have a way of happening that end up being in our best interest, no matter which way they turn out. So what else was a biggie for you? I mean, I know you've transitioned with the kids have, as they would say, the kids are all right. The relationship with the ex-wife is moving. But what about for you personally? Your view of self as a gay man was a big change for you.
It was a huge change. I have an older brother who's also gay. Mm-hmm. And he went down a pretty rough path. And so that was my view of gay men, was drug addicts, dirty, gross, you know, just not something that I wanted to be a part of. And so I came to a point where I met some pretty incredible people along the way that I saw beauty in gay relationships and beauty in being happy being gay and being happy with not even being gay, just being yourself and being happy with that and being proud of who you are. And so that was a huge thing for me to see, because I had never seen that before. I'd never seen somebody live authentically and be free to be themselves and be proud of it and to be truly happy. And in doing so, things have taken a major shift in my life, and I have the most amazing boyfriend that I could ever possibly have asked for. You know, it's the relationship that I always dreamed of having, and it's everything that I could ever possibly want. And, you know, I never thought that I would have that kind of happiness in my life.
So what, during the time that, not only during the time that we worked together, which I want to kind of focus on just a little bit, but even outside of that, but what was one of the triggers that started to really make you see in the coaching process that I would push you and you started to really see things could be different? What was something you remember from that experience?
Oh my. There's a lot of things that that you pushed me on. I think you're putting me on the spot here, Rick.
Let's kind of go to the one thing that was one thing you always wanted to do. It's the big C word. Jason always had to what? Jason always had to be in control.
Oh, yeah, of course. I always had to be in control. That was a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. And when I didn't have control, Rick, I was a mess. And I still am to this day. But that was, you're right, Rick, that was one of my biggest things was in the coming out process, I didn't have control. Because I had no idea how people were going to react. I had no idea what the outcome was going to be. I had no idea any of it. So I had zero control in the entire thing. And I was a mess.
Yeah. But yeah, even when you didn't have control and when you stepped to the other side and you were in control, you experienced through some of the stuff we did together that, okay, Jason, yeah, I want you to go control that. And then as soon as you tried to control that, you found yourself in a mess too.
Yes, I did.
It's so hard to control the outcome. And I know now, because you and I have had some conversations, you know, you haven't coached with me since probably April. And so just through becoming, you know, deeper friends in that relationship, I've watched you begun to truly relinquish control. And the minute you relinquish control through the process is when you began to open up and began to see that things could be possible, believe that you could go through this and get through a divorce without it being completely ugly. You could somehow find love, and there you stand with a guy that is really great and who, not that the listeners are going to know, who is a fabulous lip syncer, because I've seen him do that. But it's just amazing that you have stepped into a space, and my gut feeling tells me, just from watching from the sidelines, much of it happened because you relinquished control.
As much as I don't want to admit it, Rick, you're right. Mm-hmm. Don't tell anybody that I relinquished control. But you're right. You are absolutely right. I had to relinquish control on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't control how my ex-wife was going to react.
Right.
I couldn't control how my kids were going to react. It drove me nuts, but I had to relinquish that control. And that was one of the biggest things that you did teach me how to do, was to relinquish that control and actually be okay with doing so.
And just be in the moment. I think that's the piece. And it's because coming out is such a huge life-changing transition, we want to control it. We want everybody. We want to go say, okay, now love me just the way I am still. And, oh, I want you to be happy for this. There's so many pieces of it that because of who we are, we want to control. And I think, you know, one of the big messages out of this conversation is, you know, loving yourself, knowing your God loves you, that everything is going to be okay in its own way as it's supposed to be. And when we can relinquish some of the control and driving of the cart, the ride becomes pretty interesting. So we've got about 2.5 minutes till we go to break, and I want to first say thank you for being here for this segment. And in the last 2 minutes, Jason, and I am going to put you a little bit on the spot, but I want you to just come from your heart center. That, again, is another piece that I know you work through. If you could give anyone any piece of advice about stepping into their authenticity, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that fear only lasts a little while. And it's just the discomfort will only last a little while. Will it be tough? Hell yes, it will be tough. But keep your head up. Keep looking at the end goal, because things do get better. Things do get easier. Just live through the discomfort, and that's where you're going to learn, and that's where you're going to grow, is through that discomfort. That's where we do our growth. Mm-hmm. As many of us don't want to believe that or admit that, we have to have it. We have to have that discomfort and that pain in order to grow as humans. And so
I have to say that as your coach and as your friend, you have just, and I hope the same thing happens for those who just heard those beautiful words you shared. I am literally sitting here from head to toe and almost on the verge of tears to hear this beautiful man say the words he just said. You've given me goosebumps. I love you as a friend. I'm so happy where your life is taking you, my friend. And as we go to break, I really want to take the words that Jason just said and reiterate it, that fear and discomfort will only last as long as you choose to let him be in your life. Thank you so much for being here, Jason. And we're headed to break, and we'll be right back on the Coming Out Lounge. I am Coming Out Coach Rick, and continue to go out and be your best.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
To the Travel Chick Show with Bonnie Kitahata, Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Bonnie will share with you an hour of travel ideas, experiences, adventures, and tips from her guests. Topics range from local day trips to international excursions, from organized professional vacations to spur-of-the-moment getaways. For fun or business, groups or solo, by bus, car, plane, train, boat, bike, hike, or horse, you'll also hear about travel-related subjects like cultures, travel photography, keepsakes, and more. Whether you love to travel yourself or you enjoy seeing the world vicariously through others, join us and enjoy travel stories from around the U.S. and around the world. For more information on The Travel Chick Show, check out Bonnie's website, thetravelchick.com. Then join us for the show, The Travel Chick Show, live Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, with your host, Bonnie Kitahara, here on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Mobile is the future, and the future is now. Listen in each week, Tuesdays 4 to 5 Central, to Brilliant Mobile Marketing with your host, Mobile Mary, as we simplify the hottest marketing channel, mobile marketing, and share secrets on how you can use mobile to be more brilliant, be more profitable, and have more fun in your industry. Join us each week to learn from brilliant business leaders on how to simply and easily capture a list of raving fans and turn them into loyal customers. This show will help business owners, authors, and speakers realize their own brilliance by tapping into the insights of fellow brilliant business leaders. We will also showcase brilliant tools, both traditional and digital, that will make you more brilliant in everything you do. Don't miss your date with Brilliant Mobile Marketing and your host, Mobile Mary, America's mobile marketing expert, as she shares her success strategies every Tuesday from 4 to 5 Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clements.
All All right. So I've been taking a couple of deep breaths after my last guest, Jason, pretty much took me through my own little wow moment of seeing someone really, truly thrive in their life and in their space and sharing what he just did. And I'm going to bring on another one of my clients. And actually, he's also a fellow coach. And we connected through our coaching school. And I knew after the first conversation that I was connecting to someone, that there was something very interesting beyond us being coaches and both coming from very heart-centered places of how we wanted to be in our the work that we do. And ironically, as the relationship began to build and we began to work through the goals that Gordon wanted to achieve, there began to be a brotherhood that showed up from us both belonging to the same religion. And I was raised Seventh-day Adventist, and Gordon came into the church. And it has been a bond that's held us tightly together as friends and client coach and colleagues. And a piece of his journey where I've watched him grow to becoming very authentic, from my perspective, ties back to who he was and what he is in that piece of his spirituality. So at this time, I'd just like to say welcome, Gordon, and thank you for coming on today to share a piece of your own journey towards stepping into being authentically you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, yes, the irony was Gordon and I didn't know each other. And as we got connected through coaching school, he heard me speak on one of our coaching trainings. And then he contacted me. We had some conversations. And I think it actually was in the first conversation, the whole thing came up about us being religiously connected as well. And I'm going to say something about Gordon that I mean from the bottom of my heart. I know that the way he was and who he is and how he nurtured and supported people in what he did in the church divinely led him to be the coach that he is, because he's a very powerful listener. He holds a beautiful space for people in their life, and he's just a great guy. And I know he's gone through some challenges that we're going to kind of talk through. Mm-hmm. It takes a whole lot to realize when you can take the reflection and step back and look back at what was and go, uh-huh, this is exactly why I was doing that, because it's led me to where I'm supposed to be. So as I said to you, Gordon, I'm going to let you kind of drive the cart here, but I'll start it off with a question of, you know, when did you first really realize that there was a piece of you that truly wasn't living authentically and being really powerfully on purpose in your life?
I think my feelings would be similar to those of many others in that I had these feelings in my teens of an attraction to the, you know, same sex. I'm in my early 50s. So that, you know, that kind of puts me at a time space where you did not deal with those things. At least that's the way I was brought up. It was wrong. It was, not normal. You were a fag, you were a sissy, queer, whatever, you know, and worse words than that. What you ended up doing, at least in my case, is playing the part of straight guy.
Mm. I love that you use that term, because I don't think I've ever had anyone say that, even in all the coaching I do with helping, you know, men and women come out of the closets, that I played the part as a straight guy.
It's
a really interesting way to look at it, because that's exactly what we do, you know. Whether you're married or not, until that moment we authentically step into the spaces of I'm gay, I'm lesbian, I'm bisexual, I'm a transgender, then we're playing the part that we've been socialized to play.
Socialized to play, brought up, you know, by our parents, you know, supposedly, you know, being gay is against, you know, it's against, supposed to be against your values. It's supposed to be against what's right and what's ethical and what's moral. So when you have that weight on you, and you're trying not to let it show, that definitely what you're doing is playing a part. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can't let anyone know. Anyone.
And when you're playing that part and you can't let anyone know,
mm-hmm.
What are you experiencing in yourself?
Well, sadness,
mm-hmm.
Fear, shame,
mm-hmm.
Doubt in yourself as far as, you know, being normal or, you know, being regular or a part of the group or whatever. So you conform and you, again, you know, I'll go back to the same phrase, you play the part. And you pretend.
So I often have clients tell me that, and you used exactly the same words that every client uses. I feel not normal. I feel sad. I feel angry. I feel, you know, like all these things, fear. And I often
shame.
Question, when you take all those feelings together, how much did that weigh? How much did that weigh on your life?
I think it weighs pretty heavily. I think there's directions or areas in my life that I could have gone further,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm someone who's always been interested in current events and political things and that type of thing, and certainly I could not go into things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And be, you know, open.
Right.
Not at that time.
Right. And I think this is a big piece, even though you're talking about a time where things were less accepted for gays and lesbians, but it even applies to today, because there's many areas of our world, of our own country, where people still have to be hidden in their life, whether they're choosing to stay hidden because they got married and they don't want a spouse to know, or they're living in a area of our country or a state where being out can literally get you arrested or killed or whatever it may be.
Or if they're working for a company,
right?
Or have a job where that is not accepted, you know.
Right.
I
think it's a really important piece to share, that these heavy thoughts, these heavy feelings, these heavy realities are a horrible strain on who we are as a person, physically, emotionally, and you know, all of it. I mean, I tell the story all the time that before I came out of the closet, I was 100 pounds heavier. And so when I tell my story, I equate that fear, shame, guilt, and everything weighed 100 pounds. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot to people until I say, and that was 100 pounds that I carried on my physical being. And I'm a big guy. I mean, I'm, you know, almost 6'5". I'm a big, stocky football player guy. But when mm-hmm. we kind of put that piece over me, it gets a real visual. And I know from working with you that there was a heaviness that you carried as well.
Oh, yeah. Because I wanted to do, you know, what I was brought up to do was right. But
right.
It wasn't in, you know, what I was brought up to think was right. And and was taught was right and was normal. There's that word again.
Right.
You know, it's a huge weight to carry. I mean, everybody has their own different weight to carry, but that is one of the most basic things that people have to deal with, is their sexuality. And it's something that I don't know that a straight person can understand, because they don't have that weight on them. They've got other things, but they don't have that weight on them of not until they get the courage to step out. Mm-hmm. If they ever do, of not having that weight to carry around, which you say it feels like 100 pounds.
All right. Well, we've got a couple of minutes till we get go to break, but one of the things that I know that really shifted for you, and, you know, we'll do a quick talk on this and then we'll come back to it, was when you started accepting that you were okay.
Yeah. Yep, that took a long time.
It did take a long time. Not just to work with me. Even coming into the work with me, you were already kind of working in that arena. But we have about a minute before we go to break. What was the one thought that really resonated with you when you finally started accepting you? What was the one thought that changed for you?
I can be me. I can be myself. I can... I can live honestly. That doesn't mean, you know, you get up on the roof and shout out, you know, to everyone around. But it means you just, you know, you say, you know what, I'm not playing by other people's rules anymore. I'm gonna figure out what's right and play by my rules.
Exactly. And I think this is a huge piece for anyone who's listening today. I've approached it before in different shows, but this is, Gordon has really cued this up beautifully, that when you can say, and you can say to yourself and you buy into it, I can be me, I can be myself, I can be honestly who I am. And all that that matters is that's what I am to me. This is when the shift begins to happen. It is a powerful piece of really standing in our own authenticity. And when we come back, we'll drill a little bit deeper on how Gordon moved to a different space of truly becoming.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth, with coming out coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
Have you ever wondered why America is facing such a healthcare crisis? Then join us for Dr. Peter DeVette Live every weekday at 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. He'll answer your health care and medical questions and share with you his knowledge and opinions on topics ranging from holistic health care to spirituality and wellness. You'll find out about the roots of your health care challenges versus symptom management, the holistic approach, how the spirit, mind, and body connection is critical in both the development of illness and the solution to illness, how emotions are directly related to physical illness, and how to read your body like a book. Dr. DeVette will also go through your personal questions and how you can navigate through the illness maze. Supplements, medications, therapies, treatment options, surgeries, all kinds of things related to your health. Dr. Peter DeVette Live, every weekday at 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Are you powerless to stop making choices that hinder your happiness, your peace of mind, your sense of fulfillment, or success? Have your choices resulted in broken relationships, job losses, and financial chaos? Then be here for Strategies for Healing from Addictions with your hosts, Gary and Sharon Worrell. Monday mornings at 9 a.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Strategies for Healing coaches and empowers and seeks to help people discover their goals and reach those goals quickly. Provide structure, tools, and perspective to help clients accomplish more in their lives. To encourage clients to think bigger and realize their full potential. Strategies for Healing endeavors to see each individual come to a place of purposeful living apart from addictions. Check out the website, strategiesforhealing.com. Then join us for Strategies for Healing from Addictions with your hosts, Gary and Sharon Worrell, Monday mornings at 9 a.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clements.
And And I have to authentically say this show is flying by quicker than some that I've done. And maybe it's because I've had a couple of weeks off and we've just been doing the replays. But this show is truly flying by. But I think it's also flying by because I really love talking about authenticity, sharing people who have taken huge steps, gone through transitions, and really stepped into a space of being themselves. And speaking of transitions, my guest, Gordon, is a fellow coach. We both went through the exact same training. And, of course, we are both gay men, and, you know, we have a lot in common here. So before we jump back into his story, Gordon has a beautiful way of helping, supporting, handling, guiding, challenging, giving advice for people who are going through transitions. And he's a transition coach, and that can be a lot of different things. So, Gordon, before we jump back in, talk a little bit about, you know, what you do as a transition coach.
Well, transitions can have to do with coming out. It can have to do with the loss of a spouse or a loved one, dealing with illness or, you know, a crisis in your life. When things hit the wall, when you hit the wall.
Right.
And you need to do something.
Right.
And you just need someone to listen and maybe help point you in which way you want to go.
Sure.
That's where I like to step in and help if I can.
And I think this is really where I started when I introduced you. I talked about what you had done in the past, and it just so beautifully transitions into how you used to do this as an elder in the church, and now suddenly you're coaching people doing basically what you did. You've just got a few more tools in your arsenal right now. And I love this because this is when life really points you to your purpose. So if anybody wanted to have a conversation with you or get a little more, you know, information about how you work with people who've lost a spouse or who have faced a major, you know, life medical condition or coming out later in life, how would you like them to get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me at my email,
okay.
Gordon at gdelong, DELONG, coaching.com.
Great.
That's the best way.
Super. And here's what I love about it. Gordon and I do similar work, but each one of us as a coach always has a stable of people around us because somebody may come to me, and Gordon knows this about me, that I tend to attract certain groups of people. I attract kind of a younger generation that's in their 20s to mid-30s who are really wanting to keep their life on track before it has a chance to go derail. And then I kind of also attract people who are in their mid-40s on up who are either coming out of the closet, been married, whomever they are. I don't tend to attract a lot of executive types and things like that, although I do work with them. So it's nice to have people in your stable that, you know, if somebody came to me and said, you know, I'd really like someone to work with who has gone through the transition of losing a spouse or facing a major medical condition, do you know of a coach that does that? Could I work with them? Of course, but I'd rather they get aligned with someone like Gordon. So this is why I always share the people that I have on the show, because there's so many different ways and so many beautiful coaches out there that do this work. So again, it is Gordon at gdelongcoaching.com.
Right.
So let me back into the story a little bit. So
yeah.
When you and I started working, what was one of the biggest challenges that you came to me with?
There were a couple. One, how do you meet other people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, without being hanging out at the bar. Which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but there's got to be other places. Another was trying to live, you know, in line with my values, which is one of the things that I do with people is when I work with them, or, you know, even when I'm looking in the mirror or when I'm working with you, is saying, okay, does this, is what I'm doing lining up with my values? Usually, if you have to ask yourself the question, or if you are, a lot of times that's your answer right there. Because you know it in your gut. And, you know, as a coach, we like people to go with their instinct, with their gut feelings. But think it through also.
Right.
And say, you know, okay, where am I going right here, or where am I a little off the track maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great reason to have a coach to talk it through with.
Right, and I'm glad you're bringing this piece up, because I think for individuals, and this is just my perspective around coming out, I think for individuals who are coming out of the closet, when they understand that them coming out of the closet is truly aligned with the core values that they hold, and if they've never done any values work, this is why I start at that space with clients. I always start with, what do you value? Somehow along the way, as we grow from kids into adults, we always know what we want or what we desire. But when we look at it from a perspective of, what are my values, it makes the journey, whether it's transitioning out of a bad relationship or transitioning into what we're passionate about or transitioning into our sexuality, when we really can say, I value XYZ. And for most people coming out of the closet, I will say almost every client that I've worked with, one of their core values is honesty or truth or integrity. Well, it's pretty hard to be honest, truthful, and in integrity when you're hiding who you truly are.
It's impossible. It's totally impossible, because it's such a basic part of being human, you know, your sexuality. And when you're taking that big a part of your life and either A, not dealing with it, putting it on the shelf, repressing it, or whatever, that's a huge chunk of your life that is not in alignment.
Right. So in the work we've done, one of the things that I know, and I want you to kind of share this piece,
mm-hmm.
is you just kind of use the metaphor of, you know, putting it on the shelf. What I've witnessed is suddenly Gordon taking his values off the shelf, putting them back into his core system, and truly starting to use them as his guide. What has happened since you've started to do that?
Well, it's taking a weight off my shoulder. And it's not that I put my values on the shelf so much as I put my sexuality on the shelf. It's like, okay, I've got to deal with this. It's like a bottle with, you know, the cork is going to come out. I've got to deal with it before the pressure builds up so much that, I get into a bad state emotionally or mentally. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I needed to figure out for myself is that, you know what, it's not my problem anymore. I'm at peace with this. I've come to terms with it. I enjoy myself as I am. And if you have a problem with it, you being, you know, the other person or whatever, then you've got to figure out a way to deal with it, because I have.
I think that's really beautiful, because there's an energy that will come off of us that others will sense, and I was working with a client this week around this, that until you are completely aligned in yourself, and this isn't a person that's coming out of the closet, this is a person who's moving forward, trying to get on track in his career, and I challenged him, until you are completely aligned in your beliefs and your values around why you want to do this, why you want to go pursue this type of career, and why you want to have this kind of work-life balance, until you are solidly aligned in that belief system and honoring your values, then your energy is going to project off of you to others, and they're not going to buy into it either.
Exactly. Because people can sense it.
Yes.
People from their own instinct, their own intuition, can sense if they're dealing with someone who is being authentic. A friend of mine, I can't take credit for this, but a friend of mine put it in a great way one time when he said, you know, I'm not running for any office anymore. I don't need anyone's vote.
Mm.
And I thought that was a really powerful statement in that he doesn't care what other people think anymore, and not to the extent that, I mean, you just say to hell with everyone else, but, you know, I'm not looking for votes anymore. I'm done with that. And that's a very freeing thought.
It is a very freeing thought, and I think that is a really great way to kind of wind up this segment with you, Gordon. I appreciate you being here, and that quote that you just shared will be tweeted out. And as we go into the last 2 minutes, I'm going to give you just a quick, you know, Gordon, what's the thing that you gained the most from stepping into your authenticity?
Integrity and honesty, you know, it's back. The relief.
Yeah.
And it's like you let the air out of the balloon.
Wow.
So, you know, you can just, you know, when you hear someone take that, you know, sigh or whatever, that's what you've gained is peace of mind.
Exactly. Well, thank you for being here. And for those that are listening, if you're ready to step into some peace of mind and you want to start stepping into authenticity, I'm inviting you to join me this coming Monday, the 10th of December at 5:30 Pacific. Go find my website, The Coming Out Coach. Go to my Facebook page, The Coming Out Coach. I am doing a Ask the Coach call, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. I would love to have you join us. Help you get on the track to authenticity this holiday season. And as always, always step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth each and every moment of your life. I'm Coming Out Coach Rick.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clements. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.